Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue today our sermon series on the parables of Jesus, as today we talk about Jesus' one of best known and best loved parables, the Good Samaritan. It is one of the best loved parables because it focuses on love. Lots of people have to describe what love is throughout all of history, but in this parable, Jesus shows us what love truly looks like. It is a person that is full of mercy and kindness towards other people, someone who helps others in their time of needs. So, Jesus shows us what love looks like in this parable of the Good Samaritan. It starts with an expert in the law, the Mosaic law, asking a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And then the conversation goes on from there as the man learns no one can be justified by good works, but only by faith in Jesus Christ. There's so much we could talk about in this parable, but let's focus on the three questions that this parable brings up, starting with the question the man asked. Number one, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Luke 10:25. Jesus answered that question with a question. What does the law say? I tell you, the man answers the way Jesus himself taught. I think he must have been someone who listened to Jesus on more than one occasion. Because when somebody asked Jesus, what are the greatest commandments? Jesus said there are two. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. God's desire is for us to love him and love other people. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13, verse 10. Jesus tells the man, do that and you will live. The only problem is, nobody can do that. It is impossible for us to keep the law perfectly. We are not justified by good works of the law. That's what Galatians 2:16 says. We know that a person is not justified by works of the law because it is impossible for sinners like us to keep the law. We can't love God perfectly with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength because we sin every day in our thoughts, words, and deeds. That is something that we are going to do because we are sinners in our very nature. And we can't love people perfectly either, because we not only sin by what we do, which is bad enough, but also by what we don't do. So every time we have a chance to help someone and we don't help them, we've just sinned against the Lord. We are breaking the law all of the time. There's no amount of good works we can do in order to save ourselves. So how can sinners like us be saved? Well, not through the law, rather, we are justified by faith in Christ. Galatians 2:16 says, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved through faith in Jesus Christ and through faith alone. No amount of good works can save us. We could never do enough. So God sent his one and only Son to save us through his death and resurrection. The blessings of Christ's death and resurrection don't come to us through our works, but by faith in Christ. Faith alone can save. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We can't do anything to inherit eternal life. It is the free gift of God through faith. Which brings us to question number two. Who is my neighbor? But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Notice the man wants to justify himself. He doesn't like Jesus's first answer, and so he's trying to find the loophole and find, well, but who's all really included in that word neighbor? And so Jesus tells him a story, a parable, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And it goes basically like this. A Jewish man was going down to Jericho, a dangerous road, a high crime area, not the sort of road you want to travel on by yourself. Unfortunately, he is attacked. He is robbed. He is beaten badly. Jesus says he's half dead. In other words, he's in critical condition. If you're in the hospital, he'd be in ICU. But thanks be to God, there's some help. A priest from the temple comes by, a clergyman, a pastor, somebody who went to seminary, an expert in God's law who knows the Bible, who knows the commandments. Love God and love your neighbor. Surely he will help. But he walks by. And then next comes a Levite, a lay person, somebody who works in the temple. He's somebody who spends a lot of time in church, but he also refuses to help. He leaves him there to die. But then a Samaritan comes by. Now, Samaritans were hated by Jews. They had intermarried with non-Jews and were therefore hated and rejected by them. Now, in the minds of those listening to Jesus' stories, this Samaritan would be the bad guy. He's the least likely to stop and help. But as we've found out already, Jesus loves twist endings. The Samaritan not only stops at great personal risk to himself, he binds the man's wounds, cleanses his wounds with Neosporin and Bactine, I'm assuming, put him on his donkey and takes him to the nearest Holiday Inn Express. Okay, might not have been Holiday Inn Express, might have been Hampton Inn, we don't know. But it's some sort of inn. He pays for a room for him at the inn for the next month and tells the hotel manager, if he has any other expenses, here's my Visa credit card number. Just charge it to me. Now, this is so far above what any person, even the best person, would be expected to do in this situation. But Jesus is telling us that this is what love really looks like. It's not a feeling. It's not just talking about it. It's not just an emotion. Love means doing something, actually helping people at your own expense of time or money or effort. Love is kind and merciful and sacrificial. Then Jesus asks the lawyer a question, turning his original question on its head. Luke 10:36, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to a man who fell into the hands of robbers? The question is not, who's my neighbor? The real question is, who can I be a neighbor to? Who is my neighbor? Everyone with a need, right? And the answer is everyone, because everyone has needs. Physical needs, emotional needs, and spiritual needs. Every person you know has needs, which makes every person your neighbor. And that brings us to question number three. Number three, who is the Good Samaritan? You could probably guess the answer to that one. If you guessed Jesus before I started the sermon, congratulations, you are correct. You and I cannot meet everyone's needs. All people have needs, physical needs, relationship needs, spiritual needs, more needs than we can possibly meet in our lifetime. There's only one person who can meet all of our needs physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and that person is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the true Good Samaritan. Like the Samaritan, he is merciful and he is kind. Like the Samaritan, he helps us in our time of need. And like the Samaritan, he is more than willing to sacrifice in order to help us. He doesn't just heal us and help us and forgive us with his debit card or his Visa card. No, he helps us, saves us, and heals us through shedding his own blood for us on the cross. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you are healed. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Thanks be to God for our good Samaritan Jesus, who saw us dying, beaten up by the devil, beaten up and wounded by our own sinful nature. But in his mercy, kindness, and love, he heals us, helps us, and sacrifices himself for us so that we might be saved. Now, as I said before, we're not saved by good works of mercy or kindness and love. We're not saved by good works. We are saved in order to do good works, because that's what you and I are created for to do, according to Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in Christ Jesus. Or, as Jesus says at the end of this parable, Luke 10:37, go and do likewise. Now, I realize you and I can't help everybody. We're not Jesus. We can't possibly meet everybody's needs like Jesus can. You and I can't help everybody. But guess what? You and I can help somebody. And that's all the Lord is asking us to do. Not only that, I know that you want to help people. Not because of your sinful nature, but because of your new nature. That God has created you in Christ Jesus through water and the Word. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the new creation that God has put inside of you wants to love God and wants to love people. It wants to show kindness and mercy and love. I know there's a part of you that doesn't. That's the sinful nature. But there's a new nature inside of you that does. And that's who I'm speaking to right now. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I've seen how the people of St. Matthew help others when they are in their time of need. It is awesome and it is encouraging to see. Good works of love and kindness don't earn us a place in heaven. They're not something we have to do. They're something we get to do. We get to help others. We get to make a difference in people's lives. That gives our lives meaning. We get to be generous and kind and merciful. We get to be like Jesus, our Good Samaritan, who helps us in our times of need. In other words, we love because he first loved us. Go and do likewise. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.